Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight. Future stars, destined for the fame. In the rain, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game. Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, it is almost time for the 4th of July. Have you gotten everything straightened out and ready for the big event, which is going to be the Liberty Mayhem Show, which is happening at the FSW Arena on the 4th?
Yeah, you know, looks like everything's in place. Looks like we got 9 matches, and you know, what might be considered a kickoff match or a pre-show, definitely solid, featuring Kevin Koa against C4. Got to have a first responder, you know. Scheduled for a 4th of July show. So unless we go 9 on the main card, that right now is looking like it's going to be the kickoff match.
Nice. And then, of course, we've gotten a couple announcements. Veronica Haven versus Maserati in a singles match. And the tag team championship match with the Mariachis and Live Danger.
Yeah, you know, it's like sometimes you overthink things, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, you know, they're an up and coming baby face tag team against the top baby face tag team, trying to find another team, or it's like, you know what? Let's just have a good match.
Yeah.
And the Live Danger is definitely a team that is getting a lot of respect all over the place. So let's give them that shot.
Yeah, and they're exciting to watch. And then you got the Mariachis who, you know, if they're taking a siesta for a little bit, they might lose their titles.
You know, I'll tell you what, they wrestled in a 4-way at the Mecca with Live Danger, and they know what they're all about. So that's definitely not a team that they're going to overlook.
And as far as Maz going up against Veronica Haven, I think this is the first time they've gone singles, right?
You know, Maz wrestles in Arizona, so it's a possibility that they've wrestled before. But it was, again, it was like, you know, two fan favorites. And it's like, again, you know, it's all about positioning. You know what I mean? And it's like we have a new women's champion, Zamaya. Whoever wins this match has a good chance at being the opponent on January 25th.
Right. You said we're looking at about, 8-9 matches. What else are we? Because we're coming up on Saturday pretty quick here.
Yeah, I guess so. Jaden Cole's going to defend the No Limits Championship against Davion Jacob.
Nice.
He's kind of get bumped into there. And we just got the okay. They're both available. And, you know, these guys have been going at it, but they've never really had the chance to go at it in a singles match. So Fox Valentine and AJ Avon, two former tag team champions, are going to get, and they've cost each other matches. They've cost each other possibly championships. And now they're going to hopefully settle it in the ring.
Nice. With that, do you think, you know, this is, we just saw them go for the championship against Jaden. does this kind of elevate whoever wins that match to potentially get a rematch to you know, start climbing that ladder to, you know, either a No Limits or maybe a Nevada State?
Well, the No Limits Championship really, you know, is wide open. You know, AJ and Fox solidified themselves. Dante King was out for a while, former No Limits champion. He's gotten back in the mix. You know, there's always Bryce Saturn, you know, Gabe Rocha. You know, there's a lot of great talent. But nobody's really stepped up and says, hey, I'm next in line. I want Jaden Cole. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where that goal goes again. And it's like, you know, Jaden Cole is wrestling Davion, who future shot guy. But the fact of the matter is Davion is far more experienced than Jaden Cole.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jaden Cole better be wise to not overlook Davion instead of, you know, hopefully he's not like, oh, he's just a future shot guy. And Jaden Cole's had a meteoric rise. You know, he made his debut, obviously, less, you know, just about a year ago on Future Shock. But he got put in a position and he succeeded and he got the No Limits Championship a lot quicker than probably any other wrestler in FSW history.
Right.
You know, and then we also got Bodie and Brett the Threat. From what I understand, Brett the Threat, they're going to be having a celebratory occasion inside the ring. And he's scheduled to wrestle, and so is Bodie. We just haven't worked out the details yet on that. You know, there's a few people. Luke Curtis has been cleared from his concussion. I know he wants Bodie. You know, we saw some weird happenings after the show with Bodie celebrating and, you know, Nick Zander and a Bryce Saturn who's gone to war with Bodie a few times. Danny Limelight's thrown his hat in the ring. You know, he wants a shot.
So are we getting a six-way match against Bodie on the fourth?
It's possible, you know, the former Nevada State champion, Duke Lawrence, he's got a victory over Bodie. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, it's the 4th of July, you know, fireworks are going to happen one way or the other.
and finally, what's it looking like in terms of, you know, fans reaching out to you since this is an event that, you know, people could upgrade from purchasing their ticket at the Luxor or the anniversary show. And, you know, what does it look like in terms of the crowd showing up? And will there be hot dogs and hamburgers for sale?
It doesn't look like the hot dogs, hamburgers. My grill hasn't been working too good, and I don't think we have anybody to be cooking the food. Still working on that. But I'll be honest with you, you know, we're doing pretty good on the front rows, but there's a lot of people who haven't reached out yet. And it's like, you know, some of the guys like the Jester and, you know, C4 who sold tickets. Hey, by the way, you guys are on the show. You know, you sold some tickets. Dave Mazzani, even though he might not be wrestling. You know, yeah. I know the firefighters, that's their busiest day of the year, Dave.
Yeah.
He won't be there. But it's like there's a lot of free tickets that are being offered. And, you know, we're hoping people don't all show up magically the day of. And then all of a sudden there's no room. But reach out, you know, because front row, there's probably only about 20 front row seats left. And there's probably 40 people that came to the show that still haven't claimed them.
Sure.
And even if you bought a general admission ticket at the anniversary show, you still get a free GA ticket, but you're just as able to upgrade for $10 into the front row if you want. So, but again, we also are aware that there's people who have you know, plans that day. So, you know, we'll see. Just like at the anniversary show, we sold more tickets the 5 days before the show than the 55 days before that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, it's obviously it's a hard day because you have people who will do things like barbecues, et cetera, during the day.
Yeah. All good. We'll have a good crowd either way. I was just hoping to, you know, basically pack the house.
Yeah. Should Bodie feel insecure then that he's now the new champion and you've already given away tickets?
Sell out a free show.
Yeah.
You know, and we also got the faction and a 6-man tag against the Asylum. So, nice. You know, those are future Shock mainstays, the Asylum. They've gotten some opportunities, and this is their biggest one. You know, if they can knock off Lights, Camera, Faction, well, you know, you have to think twice about what's going on. And then we have Future Shock the week after. Jeffrey Excellence will be defending the brand new Future Shock Championship. And we have Veronica Haven. She is, you know, very busy, but she's free that day and wants to work. And she'll be wrestling Taylor York at the Future Shock show.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, you know, does it start making you think about a Future Shock women's title?
Nah, we don't have enough women.
Well, there you go. There's the challenge. We find more women to put in the feeding system so that you can have a women's title on that show, too.
Well, Dom needs more women, too.
I think, you know, it's an interesting kind of dilemma to be in because there's more women now than there ever have been, and yet there's still not enough.
Well, I think there's enough because we have 6 or 7. So, you know, if you do singles matches, you really can't put 3 women's matches because there's 7 women and only 5 men's matches when there's 57 guys on the roster. You know what I mean? There definitely is far more men than women.
But I hang out with Glenn King, so I'm being told all the time that, you know, there's just not enough women on the show.
Well, so. To Glenn, absolutely, yes.
All right. So last week you posted a picture. I want to just get your memories of what this was all about. The day that this happened with Austin and what was the confrontation and what are your recollections about? That was about a decade ago, right?
Well, that was a setup, I believe, at the anniversary show. And it was the setup. We were doing a Natural Born Killers. And because of Aries' affiliation with former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir, who actually did fight on the first one, he fought Simon Gotch.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, a working relationship with him. Let me go let my dog out.
Yep. And there you go, that Cross and Frank Mir and Austin Aries in the ring at the anniversary show. It was a surprise pop in and set up the Natural Born Killers. That was coming up, the first one. So very interesting to see the memories pop up throughout the timeline on Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and we were hoping that was going to set up Cross versus Frank Mir, which would have been huge.
Yeah.
But then, you know, things went a different way. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Any other recollections? You know, we just got past the anniversary show, but any other recollections about, you know, just the anniversary shows in the past, because now you're looking at almost two decades of anniversary shows, which is crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's like to pick something out to remember is probably difficult, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, remember this one, I could probably tell you everything that happened at these events and right. who's in them and all the other stuff. But because 17 years of matches is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to be honest with you, off the top of my head, do I really remember? Nah, of course not. Because, you know, it is what it is. We've had thousands and thousands of matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I always remember 10th anniversary because we had almost 1,000 people there. It was one of the biggest shows we ever did, you know?
Right.
And, you know, that anniversary show, I believe, I may be mistaken, but I thought it might have been Cross versus Bay, but maybe not.
It might have been, because that might have been when Bay won the title off of Cross, I think.
No, he didn't win the title off of Cross. I believe he already had the title.
Had the title, yeah.
But again, I may, you know, yeah. you kind of can't remember everything.
Yeah. No, it's, and it's, you know, as the longevity kind of shows, it's hard to remember. Have you ever talked about going through and putting together a compilation strictly of, you know, the 10 greatest matches from like the anniversary shows or something like that, or the greatest match of each show into some kind of collection?
Unfortunately, the DVD thing is dead as can be. Like even for the Chris Bay show, you know, we tried to do that as a charity thing, and we just didn't really get a big response at all. So there's so much wrestling now, and title match and Triller, and now everybody's leaving Triller, of course. Thank God I was actually, I guess I might be the smartest, because I left way before all these other guys. Like, how long am I supposed to wait to get paid? There's always the story. And, you know, I've seen Brett Lauderdale, you know, he posted. Yeah, because they have that deal. So he's probably one of the first ones to get paid. But AEW's owed like $5 million.
Right.
Like, when you were owed $2 million, didn't you think, hey, there might be a red flag there? I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah.
But when you're getting stuff, and it's like, with the money Tony Khan has, why wouldn't he have just did his own streaming service? Oh, yeah, like he's done now.
Right.
Yep. And keep all the money. Because in reality, they may have got a better deal. But their better deal might have been 50% of the money. And every time you're owed 50%, you're getting 20%. And you're still owed the 30, and you're owed the 30, and now you got to sue, and now you got to pay lawyers to get the money. And, you know, regardless, it's a sinking ship. You know, we had good times at Triller, but let me tell you something. You know, the money from Triller for the wrestling is there. It's the outside business that they're not getting the money from, and that's what's covering that. And it's my money.
Right.
You collected it. It isn't like we don't have the money to pay you. Sorry. No, we have the money to pay you, but we're paying something else instead of your money from your cut.
Right.
And we're keeping 60% of your cut. And you can't even pay me my 40.
Right.
Like I said, it took almost a year to get the money from the Chris Bay show. And you know, the 2 months that we did the best was the Chris Bay show in a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was 10 times what we would make in the year.
Right.
And you can't even pay me any of my money. And it's like, I got to go. You know, title match. You know, they as I said, they pay, and they pay a flat fee. So in some cases, it don't work out great. But the flat fee probably works out better when we're doing a future shock and we get that flat fee. Right. That we wouldn't, you know, I look at those numbers, we wouldn't have made what we get from them per future shock event in the long run. But right. he can cut it up and he's got all the subscribers. And we still, I got to finalize. I'm assuming we're just going to be on Title Match Network because just we don't have time to change out the music and the copyright issues, I guess, were the big deal. Because if he's going to do it, he's got to monetize.
Right.
And if he can't monetize it, why is he paying me?
Right.
Well, then in that case, if we're going to do it, then we could do it on our own YouTube for free. But he had a far, far greater reach.
Right.
So maybe what we'll do is we'll come to an agreement and, hey, you know, let us post the whole show instead of waiting 30 days. Let's put it up in a week. Whatever. I don't know. But I need to have a phone conversation with him about it.
Yeah. I mean, it, does that in any way, I don't know, kind of influence the thought of, you know, trying to get the talent to figure out, well, how do I get original music, you know, stuff like that, in terms of getting around the copyright and things like that. Because that's obviously something that, you know, is YouTube's the worst on that. They nails, you know, you for using photos even sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's just amazing everything that's happened over the years, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's an amazing experience. And it's like just living life, you know, as you get older and you realize, hey, you know, you're definitely on the back end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just trying to remember things or seeing things that pop up and memories. And it's funny because I'm scrolling on Facebook right now. Okay. And all of a sudden, I see Friday, July 5th. I don't remember realize Friday is July 3rd. But all of a sudden, I see this flyer that Eli Everfly's posting, and it's the Vegas background. And I'm like, what the fuck? They're doing a show? And I see Janella. I'm not really looking at the faces, but it's like Teddy Hart and Stefan Bonner and Human Tornado and Luchasaurus. But all I'm looking for is like the Nerd Bar is doing a fucking show on July 4th weekend. And then I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it's the show that happened that I was there. And I was just going to, I just wrote, it's like, boy, I remember stories. The Samoans were going to hold up Johnny because of something. And it was a fucking clusterfuck because that's when I met Jacob Fatu for the first time. And then that if they had to use my my ring and insurance, and I remember they Jimmy Lloyd and they had light tubes, and these motherfuckers are like on my canvas, and it was like the ring rental wasn't worth what I got to buy a new canvas for. I remember fucking screaming and yelling at Johnny, not the first time, and it's like you know that was good that relationship ended because. Out of his mind. And it's like watching that show. And I remember it was, they had to use, I had to think it was some kind of sound thing where we did the commentary, but the commentary wasn't live. It was a thing that I had, that we would use to set up and put it in Sony Vegas later. And it was, Vampiro and the other guy from Lucha Underground, Matt Stryker, they were the commentators for the event. So it was definitely, you know, solid, but it was right. But being all the guys that were on that show, I remember it fucking sucking. That's all I remember.
Well, I hope it's not a new show, considering if Stefan Bonner's being advertised, that's gonna
and
be
and
a
Phil Baroni. It's like who let him out of the Mexican prison.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Wow. You know, in thinking about that, Is there any thoughts, any memories you have of the past 4th of July, since it is 4th of July season?
Nah, not really, because we always did like a Scars and Stripes, and it never really was on 4th of July.
Yeah.
But you know, back in the day, we probably did, having the hamburgers and hot dogs, and part of Fan Appreciation Day was usually around there. And it's like, from day one, we've always done stuff to try to give back and things like that, and really bond with the wrestling fans. And that's why it's kind of weird, because like, I consider them more friends. You know, you got Jamie and Fred been coming forever, and the Furman crew forever, and then you get the newer guy like Joe DeSantos, and he brings 4 and he brings 6, and a guy I met through Matt Hardy, this guy Sal, and he comes with his family, but to the bigger shows, and didn't see him for a while and comes back. And you got Marlene and her crew, and Brandy, of course, met her husband at a Silverton show. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, there's so much common things that have occurred. Same thing with the kids class, where people have met and become lifelong friends, and who comes to see Bodie, and who bought a season pass and ended up getting married to one of the wrestlers, it's a community that's crazy. It is a dysfunctional family, 1,000%. But it's like, especially with the kids class, in terms of a lot of kids get made fun of and there's bullying. Oh, you like wrestling. Oh, you're this, you're that, and derogatory names that are there.
Yeah.
And then they come into the kids class, and whether a kid like Spider who had Asperger's, or somebody else who has some kind of disability, we don't judge. We don't go out and broadcast, oh, we're pro this, we're pro that. No, we're pro everything.
Yeah.
Any of these movements, we've never, we're like, oh, hey, everybody, we have just announced that we have the first black champion in FSW history. Well, our first champion was a black guy, Kenny King. You know what I mean? Who was like, whoever was the best person, Jay Vidal. Oh, a gay guy won a title. Who gives a shit?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, I maybe I'm older. Maybe, that's how it is. But it's like, I've always been, everybody's set in their ways. Some things are weird to me, whatever. But I'm accepting of everything. I care less.
Right.
The best person for the job is the best person for the job. Case closed. That's it. Yeah. If you're the best person, you're getting the spot. I ain't going to be like, he's gay. I can't put the belt on him. Like, that's never even been a thought process.
Right.
So, I can't tell you if that's the norm somewhere else.
Right.
But I do know there were times where like, oh, we're pro this movement. Oh, well, Joe's not announcing it. And it's like, why do I need to announce that movement? I book more people than they do.
Yeah.
But they're standing up for somebody's rights, yet they don't use them. Well, look in the mirror. I don't know.
No, and I think you touched on something that I think I just saw this posted by Mondo, and Mondo said he was questioning himself recently. And at the anniversary show, one of the students from the kids class that Mondo teaches came to the show and was dressed as Mondo. And I think that, that gave him, kind of meaning to what he's been doing. And for something as simple as that, as for, a kid coming as their teacher to support him at a show, that's the flip side of everything too, is, sometimes I think that the guys do feel like a little bit lost. What am I doing with my career? What am I, you know, what is truly going to make me happy? What am I looking for? And then you get moments like that that make you go, oh, that's right. This is what it's about.
Well, you know, everybody has a bad moment, a bad hour, a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. And the thing is, a lot of people who get into this, they have big hopes and big dreams. And sometimes they see people pass them by.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you just never know what's going to happen. I watched when I tried to book a guy named Ryan Taylor on my very first show in 2009. And I used Ryan Taylor in 2012 and 15 and 18. And it's like, wow, man, as good as this guy is, hasn't made it. Guy named Sean Ricker, guy named Brian Cage, 10 years, 12 years down the road.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Ryan Taylor showed up in Ring of Honor. And then one day, Ryan Taylor showed up on NXT. And it was like, this guy went from being 22 to being 35. 13 years. Jacob yeah. Austin Young. How many years? Now he's a mainstay.
Yeah.
But it's easy to say, you know what? Am I content having fun being an independent wrestler? I got a regular job. I'm sweating to pay the bills. I'm living basically week to week. This is my outlet. For some people, yes. That's why you hear, and it's funny, oh, I'm retiring, retiring, retiring. It was like, you didn't really have a pro wrestling career, but more power to you. And then you come back 35 times. When Terry Funk retired and came back, it's a big deal because, you know, that's how he made his living. When right. you make it your living and you're working hard and you're struggling to pay bills, this is supposed to be your outlet. Training is supposed to be your outlet. And in some cases, you see guys with all the talent in the world who don't put forth the effort. And yeah. then you see guys that have no right, you know, yeah, you see these posts on Facebook and it's like, well, you know, everybody shouldn't be trying to do this. They should just buy a fucking ticket. Well, there's also plenty of guys who have just bought a ticket that decided to do this and have been pretty successful.
Yeah.
But the success rate is so slim. So you never play baseball growing up or football because you're not going to be a professional baseball player. You can't right. try it. Like, why are you discouraging somebody from trying? And it's like, no, it's not really a fucking money grab when you're charging somebody $250 to give this something a shot.
Yeah.
You know, people lose that 10 minutes of gambling. People go to the restaurant and oh, they go to a nightclub and buy a $30 bottle of Sky Vodka for $500. They don't give yeah. a shit. So if somebody wants to spend $250 or $500 for the sign up, whatever, and give something an opportunity, give something a shot and take an opportunity to do it, you know, why are other wrestlers discouraging them? You know, yeah. it's like, well, if that guy becomes better than you, yeah, guess what? He's going to take your spot. You know, Nick Zander was a guy who would buy tickets. I would have my you know, as everybody knows, I have my notebook with probably 50 notebooks of every show we did where people bought tickets. And Nicholas, not real name Zander, would be there buying, oh, I need front row. I need front row, Joe. Never met the guy. Buy tickets. And decided to give it a shot. And then I've seen guys that, remember this one guy, Scott. He trained at Knox Pro, bodybuilder, jacked. Like, man, this guy's got all the tools to be my next champion. And 3 weeks later, he quit because he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So just because somebody is perceived to be an athlete,
right?
It's still hard work, determination, and I tell everybody, nothing beats heart.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the heart to do it, no, there's no stopping you.
The cameraman, that's how he got started. Scoop.
You know, everybody loves wrestling that's involved in our shows.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it because it's like, oh, wait, this is a way to get rich. I'm gonna work an independent show and Joe's gonna pay me $500 to ring announce. No, that's not how it works. There's little to no money being made. And the bottom line is it's the passion. And that's why you see guys in FSW that have been there a long time and you got guys training and you know they just want that opportunity to wrestle in front of their family and friends. That's why Future Shocks have done so well.
Yeah.
Where you got all of a sudden between, you know, C4 and the Jester and Jaden Cole that the family and friends are coming out to support, we end up having a packed house. And you know what? I could charge $30 for front row and I'll sell as many tickets as I still am. But we try to keep it affordable because they aren't huge wrestling fans. We want to give them the experience. They're $20 tickets. I don't need to tell the young guys to sell them for $15 because we want to get your family and friends. Hey, $80, 100 people at $5, that's $500 in my pocket.
Yeah.
But it's not always about the money.
Yeah.
You know, and even with the wrestlers. Oh, and don't work for free and don't do this and don't do that. It's like, who are you to tell somebody what to do? There's a reason why wrestlers wrestle for little to no money. I don't need to use certain people that may be close to being ready, but not being ready, but I'm giving them an opportunity. And I know they're not saying that, hey, well, you didn't pay them. It's like, well, if you're paying $250 a month, and now you're paying $100 a month because now I'm putting you on shows. In terms, I keep knocking your dues down.
Yeah.
So a Jaden Cole, for example, is different than somebody else because the more he started progressing, he didn't pay 2-3 years of the highest price.
Right.
He's not been doing it that long. But because now he's on a main show, I could keep him at X amount of dollars and throw him money. But instead, he's probably making more money by paying way less in dues than if I would have gave him $20, $30, $40 for a school show.
Absolutely.
And it's always the outside people who don't know who, oh, well, he's cheap and, oh, he doesn't pay what we should. And he doesn't pay the rate and this. And it's like, well, yeah, go to California and go make your rate on a show that's generally going to suck. You and three other people are going to be good, and they're going to probably pay the rest of the people nothing because they're barely trained, barely should be on shows. Well, I try to have a show where everybody's pretty good, and then you try to mix in my students. And again, those are the reasons why you don't see Danny Limelight all the time, and you don't see Tito, and you don't see Che, and you don't see this guy, and you don't see that guy, because we're trying to give C4 that opportunity, or Oliver Candidate, or Davion, or Demir, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could call 100 people that will come in and wrestle just for the opportunity. If I say, hey, I can give you a match with Hammerstone, they aren't going to be like, my rate's 200. They'll be like, oh, whatever you can do, because I'll tell them, this is what the pay is. I don't need to know what your rate is. Now, it's a little different if I'm calling up somebody who doesn't normally work for me and I say, hey, Tito and Jay, I need a tag match against the Mariachis. You know, I'll throw a number to them based off what I know they've worked for and what they kind of do. But you try to negotiate a good deal because nobody's doing this to lose money. I'm not going to say, hey, gee, you want to work for $20? I know better. This is the old days, you know, when they were working for $50 and they come into my office and they're like, hey, any chance, you know, we can get $75? And it's like, sure, I understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, and now Tito's price is probably starting to go up and up because of the AEW appearances. So, you know.
Yeah, but Tito's still Tito, and he'll work for me for, you know, if he's available and it can work out, he'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose the only ring announcer you're paying anywhere near that price to would be someone who's married to Brian Cage, because, you know.
It's the package deal.
Right, because a ring announcer getting more than $500 for a ring announcer, you'd be insane. You'd be like, how is Joe making any money?
Right. You know, we don't have the Michael Buffer budget.
And you know, and thinking about the, you know, the upcoming July 25th show, how are you getting everything in motion in your mind for that show? Because that's kind of the gap show, essentially the bigger show before the Survival of the Fittest. So does that show become essentially kind of a bigger, you know, setup in your mind over what's happening in terms of the next 6 to 8 weeks?
We know where we're looking to go. Yeah. We have ideas on the show on the 4th that can lead to matches there. We already know we're doing Matt Vandergriff versus Jay Vidal, for example.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, odds are Zamaya is going to maybe take on the winner of the Veronica Haven Maserati match.
Yep.
You know, so there's different ways to set it up, you know, trying to figure out, you know, who's worth, because again, like we said, at the anniversary show, it kind of ended a lot of things. And right. It's like, okay, now where do we go in terms of, hey, we got a new Nevada State champion. Who's in line? You know, yeah. Jaden Cole kind of vanquished the last three people that he worked with. So, hey, is now it's time to be like, hey, is there a name from the past? Former right. champion. Guys who haven't had opportunities. And making the card strong enough to be like, hey, this is at the HyperX. This is going to be a really good card. You know, we want to make sure that we have things in place quickly, because in changing the game, I thought it was a solid card, but EDC weekend, things going on, people felt that that was a show that they could miss.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, it makes sense. These were posted about 2 weeks ago, the latest in the line of. So what exactly are these art cards? And I mean, they're just phenomenal, man.
Yeah, it's the guy Zeke, who comes to a lot of our shows, works for a company called Filsinger Games. And they have a lot of different NWAs, and they have all these different variations. They did the indie card, and they did a bunch of our wrestlers. And we have a second set coming out. And it's kind of like a dice game. I don't really know the game, but they're big into the wrestling stuff. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough. I mean, Chris Bays and Jacob Austin Youngs and so many, Hammerstone. And it's also, the artwork is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you just want to collect it as a card, I guess it's cool. But you get but there's a little card game that goes with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool to see. I've always loved to see the, you know, the things like that, the little ways that fans incorporate into, you know, new stuff, you know, especially independent wrestlers. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the way it works, there really isn't really money being exchanged between the wrestlers and the company. But what they do is they'll give them X amount of cards, 40, 50, 25. I don't remember the number. But now you have that card, and it's no different than getting a trading card and selling it. And you sell it for $5 or $10 signed. And it's a great looking card. And it's a way that if you have 25, 50 cards at 10 bucks a piece and you're able to sell them, it's free merch that adds on to the collection.
Yeah, absolutely. This happened recently. The Canadian Pro Wrestling organization just did a world's longest recorded Royal Rumble style match in history. Now, you've talked about this idea of doing a 24-hour match. This one ran nearly 22 hours and featured 243 people, and including like the Grinch and Santa Claus and Power Rangers. Right, so
a lot of people probably worked multiple times.
Yeah, exactly.
But we had talked about it years ago during the pandemic, and running a 24-hour Rumble and recording it and you know, streaming it live. And there'd be like, you know, I remember there were the ideas of, hey, you know, we could have Cutthroat Cody and we could have Crash Test Cody and, you know, we could have all these different people doing it. But it was just too complicated. 24 hours. You need somebody. What are the cameramen going to work? 12 hours each? So you need two cameramen. You need the... You know, you run out of SD cards by the time the 24 hours were over.
I don't know. I think you could do it. I think you could do it. Apparently, Evil Uno, I guess it's his company, he called all 22 hours of it.
Yeah, so. Insane. And that was the thing. Like, you also needed referees and you needed announcers. And it was like, man, that was just a stab. That was just... something that was very, very, very difficult to put together.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure that if HyperX is really desperate for something to bring in 24-hour entertainment.
There you go. Maybe they'll sponsor it. If they do, we'll do it.
Because, you know, you think about it, the one brilliant thing about something like that is you could technically have, you know, two of the competitors or so, or three of the, they could stop mid-match and start gaming because you could actually have them play on the big screen and see what's going
they can
on.
Wrestle, yeah, they can wrestle as FSW character, their own character. Yeah. No.
It'd be the first. That's the other thing.
Maybe we'll try that first. We'll do a Rumble style match, gaming wise.
Virtual. See
how many hours we can go on that one.
Right. Oh man. All right. Final thoughts as we come into Liberty Mayhem on the 4th. And again, start time is 5 p.m. Right.
Yeah, 5 p.m. That way, you know, it's over before it gets dark. People can go watch their fireworks. Hopefully they're barbecuing a little earlier in the day. We expect a good crowd, but this was the best way to offer that freebie for the people, because it's a holiday show. People got a lot of things going on. A lot of our wrestlers wanted to work. So, you know, we have a stacked card. You know, we got three or four championship matches. Brand new champions, Bodie and Brett the Threat, are going to be there. So it should be a fun day.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a really good time. Again, you can check it out at the arena, 5 p.m.
On Title Match. So
yep.
We're still seeing about the YouTube option.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that is it for this week, everybody. Again, thank you for tuning in, and hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more on what is going on the 25th, and always everything going on all at once. So until then, happy wrestling, everybody.